You're listening to Stateside. I'm April Baer. This month, one of Michigan's law enforcement leaders made an absolutely heartbreaking ask on Facebook. Can someone please help this man in my custody? Sheriff Michael Bittner of Chippewa County said that a Vietnam veteran was found incompetent to stand trial in his county in December. There were no available beds at psychiatric facilities, so the inmate still in the county jail and refusing to shower or communicate. It was a reminder of people in Michigan's jails who have unmet mental health needs. Milton Mack is the state court administrator and a former chief judge in Wayne County's probate court. Michael Poulin is the sheriff of Muskegon County. It's a little bit different area than Chippewa County, but with some of the same challenges. We've invited them in to talk more about this. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, happy to be here.
Thank you.
Sheriff Poulin, I have a question for you to start out with. Muskegon has two federally qualified health centers, and we learned that next month one of them is going to be closing at the end of March, leaving some 11,000 people without a primary care physician and other things that they need. Now, with respect to mental health care, is that going to have repercussions for your deputies and your jail staff?
I think, well, you know, depending on, you know, I've been to a few meetings and talking to individuals about this. I don't believe the number's as large as that. The more appointments that were going to be scheduled. It is a smaller
11,000 appointments.
Yeah,
I see.
Yeah, so the number of people that are being affected is smaller, but the other medical facilities that we have, our community is really stepping up to make sure those individuals that need those services are still going to obtain them. But yes, this is going to have a direct impact, especially with community mental health for whatever the services that they're going to have to pick up also as a result.
Can you give us an idea of perhaps how many times a week jail staff has interactions with someone with mental health problems?
Well, we're pretty fortunate here in Muskegon County right now. We were awarded just over $800,000 to develop a crisis intervention team as far as training for law enforcement. And I actually have mental health team embedded in the jail right now. So we're doing assessments and interviews with every individual that comes into our facility right now.
Wow. I guess that's a start on the problem. But how frequently is it that people with mental health problems are finding themselves coming into contact with the system?
Well, since we started the program here in October of last year, there's been 582 persons that basically have qualified for supporting mental illness or a substance use disorder from those interviews that are going on. You know, we're pretty much like the national average there, or I could go, you know, here in Michigan, as far as the jails go, almost 20% of our population that we're serving is suffering from a mental health issue.
Milton Mack, could you tell us a little bit about what you observe happening to people with mental health issues in the system and maybe the cycle of interactions that they tend to go through?
The key part of the problem to me is the fact that we don't intervene in a timely fashion. About half the people who have serious mental illness in the state, in this country, are not getting treatment at this time. We have an underfunded system that doesn't provide the support for people when they need it the most. We should have a system that intervenes and helps people before they get involved in law enforcement. You look at Wayne County, and the last data I had was from 2017. Of the 20,000 people who spent time in the Wayne County Jail, 10,000 had a case history with community mental health. Now, that's a pretty tragic outcome. People with mental illness should be getting treatment before they get in trouble. Part of the problem is the way the laws are written. The law says, well, if you're dangerous to self or others and you're at risk of harm, then we'll intervene. But the truth is, most of the time, we have warning that someone is in trouble. They're not taking their medication. They're behaving erratically. They've lost the capacity to make an informed decision. So that's really the time to intervene before the sheriff has to take over.
Yeah, Sheriff Poulin, I wondered if I might ask you a question. Interactions that law enforcement have with people with mental illness are very much under the microscope, and I don't know if people have a realistic idea of how this plays out. Is it more common for people with mental illness to be involved in major crimes, or would you say that your staff's time with folks in this situation is more of a daily, kind of a slow drip situation?
You know, I think that's a good example as far as a daily slow drip from there. some of these individuals that we're dealing with, it's your trespassing complaints, maybe a disorderly person. You know, I'm not going to say that we're not dealing with individuals that are participating maybe in a violent crime from there. But as a judge had said there, it's, you know, as these situations go on and on and on, you know, we help support a young man from another county because just to help them, the county wasn't equipped to deal with the individual. And, you know, his charges that he had received and were continuing to receive while he was in the facility were just really for the fact that he wasn't getting his medication and the proper treatment. And, you know, we housed him at the Muskegon County Jail till a period where we could find, where, you know, a bed became available for him. But once Health West got him on his meds, then everything calmed down and he was fine while he was with us. I mean, he was picking up felony charges while in the facility because of his behavior and how he was acting out and attacking the guards.
Is it useful to think about this in terms of potential for violence in every interaction, or sometimes the problems just associated with people being a little more passive but still non-compliant?
Yeah, and I think the important key of that is that appropriate, educated interaction from our public safety community as they're dealing with individuals, being able to identify what's going on, having the proper tools and the proper resources to handle somebody.
What does that look like? Does that mean having medical folks available to help out? Or, I mean, I imagine in some of Michigan's rural counties, the idea of having, you know, psychiatric staff is that's a non-starter in more out of the way places.
And I agree with that. You know, we're in the process right now of getting, as far as our crisis intervention team together and getting all of our officers in Muskegon County trained. So how it works right now in Muskegon County is if an officer has an interaction with an individual, right from his MCT in his car, he doesn't really even have to file, he or she file a report, but they can send that information of that person right to our community mental health. And then they're going to look at that form and just, you know, start asking questions and see if that person is already on their radar for assistance. Maybe they're supposed to be taking some medication or something like that. And then they'll come out and do an intervention at that time. So it helps us with return calls for an individual and make sure that that person's getting on the right path for the treatment that they need and, you know, get them healthy again.
If you're just joining us, my guests are Sheriff Michael Poulin of Muskegon County and State Court Administrator Milton Mack. He's a former chief judge in Wayne County. And we're talking about the issue of providing mental health treatment, or at least competency in mental health interactions in Michigan's county jails. Milton Mack, do you find that folks who are dealing with mental health challenges are more commonly in the courts for having been accused of a crime or being themselves victims of a crime?
Well, that works both ways. People with mental illness do have a tendency to be victimized, but people with mental illness also have a tendency to get in trouble. Disorderly conduct, for example. Part of the problem with the forensic center and the wait list for like that gentleman in Chippewa County is we have so many judges who are sending misdemeanors to the forensic center, which is a huge waste of resources and waste of time.
So you're saying people get accused of low-level crimes.
Right.
And then they end up occupying bed space at forensic centers or, in layperson's terms, psychiatric care facilities. Yes?
Well, the forensic center in particular, because that's the place where people go if they're found incompetent to stand trial and restorable, and they're held there to be restored. So we need to take the misdemeanors out of there. We should save the forensic center for serious crimes.
I imagine part of the reason why judges do send people to forensic center, though, is that there really isn't a lot. There aren't a lot of other places to send them just to get help.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right. Judges will send people to the forensic center because there's no place else to go. So I am working currently with the CMH Association and the prosecutors with an eye towards diverting misdemeanors from the forensic center to community mental health. And if we can do that, it'll help get those people well and keep them out of trouble.
It seems like it's got to be terribly hard to prioritize this. I mean, does it make sense to come up with more options for the most chronic cases or for, like you say, folks who may not be in a state of crisis but who are getting locked up for misdemeanors and hope that it frees up resources for other issues?
Well, you need a comprehensive approach. You need the court and the community to get together to address this problem because you need to make sure that someone is discharged into treatment if they're having mental illness in jail. You need to have a system for deflecting or diverting people from getting into the criminal justice system once they've been arrested or potentially arrested. And you have to take care of people before they get too sick. You have to do all those things. And those are all things that can be done. It's not like we don't know what to do. It's just we've been unable to gather the resources to make it happen. And part of it is just coordination. I mean, for example, Huron County has a system now where they're really doing a very good job of getting to people earlier and getting them into treatment and avoiding hospitalization as well as, you know, criminalization.
What are some differences between how you've seen this play out, Milton Mack, between rural towns in Michigan and some of the more populous counties? I mean, you had a lot of experience in Wayne County. Do you think there are any significant differences?
Well, actually, in some of the rural counties, like Huron County, for example, it's easier for the community mental health system and the court to work together just because they're smaller. And so they're more nimble and they're developing a system. Sometimes in a major county, things can handle a little too routinely.
Mm-hmm.
And it's harder to gather all the right people together in the right place at the right time, the bigger you are. So it's a problem which requires changes in state law, changes in practice, and changes the way we deliver mental health services in Michigan.
At risk of suggesting that this problem may not have solutions, I wanted to ask Sheriff how you think about the economic argument for trying to fix this problem that has been around for such a long time. How much would you say problems with our mental health safety net tie up time with your budget, work hours for your staff? Are there things that, I mean, obviously you've made some steps toward addressing it, but are there things that mental health needs prevent you from doing in the community that you otherwise would like to do?
Obviously, when time's being spent with an individual to make sure they're getting the proper care, that's taking away from other calls of service or things that officers could be doing. But as far as a financial statement goes, I mean, for a community, what could happen? Judge and I were talking earlier, and I don't know if I can pass back off to him about what they were doing in Miami-Dade and how positive that was there.
Sure, I could jump in.
Please do.
Judge Steve Leifman in Miami-Dade County has developed a fairly comprehensive program for addressing mental health issues. They've trained all of their officers in Miami-Dade, over 5,000, in crisis intervention training. And as a result of that training, the shootings of persons with mental illness dropped dramatically, and injuries to law enforcement dropped dramatically because of the change in the interaction with persons. And then instead of arresting people with mental illness and a mental health call, they would try to talk the person down. If that didn't succeed, they'd take them to a crisis intervention center instead of arresting them. So for the last 10,000 mental health calls in Miami-Dade, it resulted in 139 arrests. And so as a result of what they've done, they closed a jail, saving $12 million a year. Their workers' comp premium went down because the law enforcement wasn't being injured. And they went to New York for their bond rating review. The bonding agency wanted to know what happened to litigation. It's dropped dramatically. And they explained what they had done. And they raised the bond rating for Miami-Dade because of the work they've done to address mental health issues differently.
Milton Mack, what are the prospects of maybe trying to mirror what's going on in Sheriff Poulin's area across other places in the state?
Well, I think they're very good. I'm seeing across the state greater attention to this and greater commitment to this. So it is there, but it will require some assets. It will require some commitment by the legislature. You know, that this whole thing sort of started in 1963 with the adoption of the Community Mental Health Act. And what that did was the federal government said, we will pay for the cost of people who are indigent mentally ill. And so legislatures across the country took all their general fund money and matched it to the Medicaid dollars, but didn't leave money for people who weren't Medicaid eligible, which was a huge problem, which led in large part to our homeless problem and the fact that we have so many people with mental illness in jails and prisons because they're not getting treatment. So we will need some general fund money to get into the system to help these community mental health systems help people before they go to the hospital.
Do you ever feel like you've been rolling this rock up the hill since the 60s, only to see it roll down again every year?
I've had that sense. However, I'm more optimistic now than I've ever been, because I see at the national level, I've been asked to serve as co-chair of an advisory committee out of the Conference of State Court Administrators, which is basically helping every state develop sequential intercept mapping for their state. And I'm part of a second group in Denver, which is rewriting a mental health code to have a modern mental health code, which is focused on helping people get treatment. The original mental health code that we still have was written in the 70s and was designed to prevent treatment. It was designed to keep people from being treated involuntarily and to help empty the hospital. So it did all that. But now it's time for a mental health code that's actually focused on helping people early in the course of their illness.
We've been putting this very much in terms of the economic benefits, which is not a small thing when you're going to state legislators and saying, this is the way we should move forward on it. But I don't know, Sheriff, do you feel like there's a moral argument to all of this as well?
Well, of course there is. You know, I recall the day that on the Sheriff's Association listserv when Sheriff Bittner put out his call for help, you know, asking all the other 82 sheriffs in the state of Michigan, you know, what can I do? And really the common voice was about making this, you know, that public awareness, making people aware, going to the media, getting, you know, people to understand exactly what's going on, because it isn't just in Chippewa County where they're dealing with these types of issues. We are everywhere. And, you know, you referenced the idea that, you know, pushing this rock up a hill. You know, we do have a moral obligation. And, you know, the fact of the matter is we're going to continue to work on this because it's the right thing to do.
Sheriff Michael Poulin of Muskegon County and Milton Mack, State Court Administrator, and a former Chief Judge in Wayne County Probate Court. I want to thank you both very much for being here. We really appreciate your time and your work on this issue.
I appreciate the invitation.
Yes, thank you for the time.